गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नोतिभिः सीदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं सर्वोपनिषदो गावः दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् इयं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः. Very good. So in the fifth chapter here, we have been looking to the section talking directly on the Jnana Yoga. And so one person from the class also asked about, an email, asked about the emotional disturbance, right? The emotions get in our way up and down here. So, you know, something, we're human, so what to do? Humans' emotions are there and they disturb us also. So what happens is the one remedy for, of course, is like practices like yoga and meditation, this helps to balance, first of all, because if you do that regularly, the mind is more balanced. Now, there are two more things other than this, of course, and somebody will say, well, you know, I've been coming to yoga class for a month now, and you know, I don't see a big difference. But you know, something you do regularly over time, slowly, slowly has more of an effect. That's one thing. So this is one thing that can be very helpful. Now, of course, with yoga also, that's just when you just do yoga meditation, meaning meditation the way you just be with the breath or just be with mantra or something like this, it's something kind of technical. It's a mechanically, technically, you're making the mind more quiet, so it'll become noisy again later. Now, of course, you create the habit though out of it, which is one good thing. But then what happens is the lifestyle we live, slowly, slowly, that can help. First of all, sattvic lifestyle, right? This is one thing that can help. I can elaborate on, but I think people are familiar like this. That's one thing, and then slowly my attitude toward things. That's why Karma Yoga we study. Karma Yoga we study, but more, that's where Swami Shivanandaji's aphorism that an ounce of practice is better than tons of theory. For Karma Yoga, that's good. So our attitude, how I do. So that also helps to go more deeper into some of the what's causing the turmoil like this. Because one is taking care of the the on the surface, and this is more taking care of the habits that are behind it. But then to root out the problem totally, then that's why we study Vedanta. Because as long as I identify as an individual, then I identify with the individual's problems and amplify them. When I know I'm not the individual, the problem, some problems will be there, but it won't be much of an issue like this. So that's why all these three are important. One is, you know, the yoga, very helpful because the mind jumping around, that habit can be taken care, meaning something like asanas, pranayama, Raja Yoga meditation. The karma yoga, more and more to help to take care of what's more behind it in the mind that's causing the disturbance. And then, of course, the self-inquiry to go further. Now, without some of the yoga and karma yoga, it'll be very hard, though, to get to the bottom, to look into it. So it's also preparation. Because if the mind is too disturbed, it'll be very hard to look into these things. Like one person was coming to our class regularly on Thursday. So when I emailed, and it hasn't come some time, said my mind has been too disturbed, so I can't focus in on it. And it's true. How are you going to focus in on the subtle things if the mind is too disturbed also? So that's a little bit on, and then also proof is in the pudding. You know, it's kind of like, okay, you know, you put effort into the things and you study these things and then you see how it can help like this, because otherwise how do you know in that way? So actually this is one thing. Swami Paramartanandaji, we're reading his translation here. He actually said, look, Arjuna has an emotional problem. That's his problem here. But Shri Krishna is giving intellectual solutions. They're saying, how's that? Well, the thing is that because if the understanding is there, the emotion won't be there anymore. Because when you see it clearly, then that'll help to fix the emotional problem, because it'll take away the base for why the emotion is there, why the issue is there. The snake brings fear, but then once you know it's not a snake, the fear goes away. So the fear was emotional, but the understanding took away the fear of the snake. So like this, in this way. So that's to get to the base of it, we say the understanding is needed, like this, the Jnana Yoga. So in any case, let's see what more Shri Krishna has in here on this Jnana Yoga portion. So we're in verse 17, yeah?
Okay.
That's where we're at. We did 16 last time. Tadbuddhayastadatmanaha tanishthastatparayanaha tanistashthatparayanaha gachantya punaravrittim jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha. Those who have the knowledge of that Brahman, who have that Brahman as the Atma, who are established in that Brahman, and who have that Brahman as the supreme goal, and whose impurities are completely destroyed by knowledge, attain the goal of non-return. So discussing here about the jnani, the one who knows. And actually, one thing that's said is, from our perspective, we'll say, okay, this is jnani. But from jnani's perspective, it's only jnana, no jnani. Because, for instance, when you're in deep sleep, is there an individual there in deep sleep? Right? There's no individual in deep sleep. When you wake up, you say, I had a deep sleep. When you're in the deep sleep state, there's no individual. Individual is gone. There's only, you know, only pure avidya, pure ignorance. That's why ignorance is bliss, right? Pure ignorance is bliss. And ignorance is bliss isn't an original thing, because of the five koshas, right? The subtlest one, the anandamaya kosha, that's the only one there in deep sleep. And we know it's anandamaya because you remove all the others in deep sleep and there's only ananda. So the pure ignorance and also pure your bliss, like this. So in this way. So there you're not an individual. So imagine you don't identify with any of the koshas, including the Anandamaya kosha, all the layers. Then where's the individual? Because if I say, I know the self, what do you mean by that I? If I, the individual, knows the self, now this little individual is known the totality, then which am I? Am this little individual, or am I that self? So self-knowledge, the one knows they're not the, you know, has clarified to themselves they're not the individual, so there's jnanam, not jnani. There's just the knowingness, if you want to say. So in this way, there is no individual. It's negated, if you want to say. So this is what happens. So here, it's also talking about these different aspects of who jnani is. Tad buddhihi, that one whose understanding is just of that one. In when you see tat used, tat that, you see that tat, same thing. Same word like this. So tat that. It talks about Brahman, about the universal consciousness. And the reason this pronoun is used, that and not this, because anything that can be made an object can be this, right? This house, this person, this dog, this planet, right? This universe, this, I can make it this. This planet that my friend lives on is 100 million light years away. It's still this, because it has this space-time element in it. But that you can't make into this. The Brahman can't be made into this, it can never be made object. And again, that's one of the hardest things in looking into this, is everything we want to know is object, but the subject can never become object in this way. But so, tad buddhaya, those who know that. Who know that? So a very subtle thing, and we can only know it not as an object, but as I, the subject, and I can't know it with the means of the mind, intellect, and this. I think that was in one of the earlier verses that we just looked recently, right? That mind, intellect can't be the ones that grab it like this. Because if it were the object, then it would need some sort of qualities. It'd have some size or some length, some history, something. But it doesn't have any of that. So I can only know it as myself, and to clarify what myself is, like this. So those who have the clear understanding of this, tad buddhayaha, tadatmanaha, those who know that as their own self, that their self is not the limited one, right? Tanishtaha, who are totally established in it. Because in the end of the second chapter, we studied a while back the section which is called about Brahmanishta, about the one who is established in the self, like this, that section. And what happens there is tanishtaha, so established. There's no question about just being there in that. There's no, because what happens is, we can have some knowledge of it, and maybe some of the time I feel, yes, I'm just the present. Nothing can touch me. But I'm not established in it. Meaning, I feel there's something there, but then it gets covered up because I get busy, something disturbs me, I get distracted. So it's not being established. But here, it's being established. There's no question about it like this. Somebody becomes a mother, there's no question about it. The mothers have the sixth sense. Anything, whether they're asleep, they know something's with the baby, they'll wake up like this, sixth sense. There's no question. So no question about it like this. So there's no question. Just like there's no question I'm this person, for them there's no question like that. There's a nice example given. Adi Guru Shankaracharya, they talk about four main disciples of his like this. One of them, Hastamalakacharya. Hastamalakacharya, the berry. They say gooseberry. I don't know if gooseberry is the same thing. One kind of berry like this. So the reason that this is what he's referred to, this acharya, is when you have a berry in your hand, do you have a question about that berry is your hand, the size, the shape, and this? You have no question that it's right, sitting right there in your hand. no question whatsoever, like this. I see it, I know it's there. So just like we see that clearly, he clearly knows he's the Atma, like this. So this way. Sthita Pragya Lakshana, that's that section, the last of the second chapter, the signpost of the one steady in wisdom. So steady in that. Tatparayanaha, this is their only aim, only goal. We've many other motives, many other goals. This is the only focus. Everything else is secondary. Everything else with us. This is one thing when we study it slowly, slowly, as we have deepened our understanding of the importance of this, then it becomes the primary focus. Meantime, we have many other agendas. Eventually, that becomes the center agenda, like this, in this way, because clarity, why it's so important. So, gacchanti punaha avritim. These people go to where there's no return. They won't return. So you can't go to where there's no return. That kind of, the fact you're going, meaning you're going to go somewhere else. It's because language, again, is limited. And this, as for those who are coming sometime, all these things, nothing is new here, because it's, once you study, then there's, you know, you'll hear a lot of same again and again, but we keep looking into it. That's the thing. So that self-knowledge isn't something that can be gained and then lost. I go to a physics class when I'm young in college, and 15 years later, when I'm talking to a nephew or something like this about, and they're studying, I have vague memory, a lot of things I don't remember, I forgot it, right? This I can forget. But self-knowledge isn't something in that sort. Because I know that I am, there's just a mistaken identity. When that's clarified, there's no way for it to cover up again, because it's not possible. There's no individual, again, to get confused about it. Like an individual can get confused about something. But when there's no individual there for it, then you can't enclose it again. It's not something that would be possible like this. You wake up from the dream, there's no question it was a dream. It's not that, okay, is it a dream again? Did it really happen? You won't have a question about it. You're awake, you know, asleep, like this. So in that way, there's no possibility of this. Because once a mistake is clarified, the mistake is clarified. Like that. Yeah, is that fine? I guess that makes Jnaninaha, Duta Kalmashaha, and the Jnanis then, all the impurities are gone. Because the impurity doesn't belong to the Atma, right? Because it belongs to the body-mind complex in this way. That can't belong to that. Body's not well, belongs to body, not to Atma. So people do things to purify in different ways, whether physically or they want to do some spiritual practice, some service, and they want to purify the mind. That's for the upadhi, not for the self. Self, there's nothing to purify. Now, Swami Paramarthanandaji, he does something very nice. He takes these different terms they gave for different things that they say for jnani, and he puts it into a way to show the progression in how we look into this. So he takes like this. He says, first, tatparayanaha, having that as one's goal. So he says, what happens is, that, you know, we're struggling in life. We want to have the right, keep changing situations. We want to change things around me in order to find my happiness and all. And then eventually one comes to the realization that, no, that's never going to do it. The revolution has to be inner revolution, not outer one. Because the outer one will never totally do it. Whatever you do, then, you know, after some time it'll change, my mind will change, that's never what's going to solve my problem. That's an endless thing. It can't do it. So this is the first one that then one realizes, yes, there has to be some higher goal, and that one has to, you know, I need to change. My vision has to change. It's not, I can't change the world. That's not possible like this, in this way. So this is the first one. He says this one is how one starts. One realizes this, and one starts to look into these things. Otherwise, you know, I still want to change the situation, the other people, in this way. When the to be And to be happy because of a situation is very easy. Very easy thing to do, like this. But to be happy in spite of it, happy, content, in spite of, that's the the wisdom. Because you don't have control over the externals like this, right? Very easy. We're not the bosses. Very quickly the world teaches us like this. So in that way. So that's first one. Next, which is not in here, karma, he says, karma yoga will come next. You have to, you know, slowly change my attitude, how I do things, but that's not put in the verse because it's just looking at the jnana part in this way. Next, tadbuddhayaha. So, okay, in order to change myself, what's needed? Karma yoga is helping to purify the mind. Mind is not as disturbed. Now let me look into what's behind this. And so then the study, like the study of Shastra, study of Gita and scriptures like this, to help to clarify, to understand. So this is the second one, which is exactly what we do here, the Shravana, and then we reflect on and look into these things. So this is the next one. Because what happens is, again, that there's a problem. I have the human problem, you know, it comes up in different ways, like the emotional disturbance. This is one of the main things, like this. Okay, so I have a problem, I don't see how to get out of it. I try many things, I don't. So the problem has to be understood. Jnana Yoga says you have to understand the problem. Once you understand the problem, then you know the solution. People try without understanding it first. This is the thing. We want to solve it and not first see what it is. First, the proper diagnosis. Proper diagnosis then. And that's viveka, the discrimination, is the diagnosis. We look at ourselves. What am I? Okay, look at myself. What is the constituents of me, mine? That's why the whole looking at the different layers of the stula sharira, physical body, right? Or the anamaya kosha, we call food body, food chief. Pranamaya kosha, my energy and physiology. Then manomaya, the mind, thoughts, emotions. Vijnanamaya kosha, I have the intellect. And then anandamaya kosha, there's something there when all these are gone still. Something is there, deep sleep. It's not just me because I wake up and I knew there was some state there. So all these are there, but there are issues in these layers. Anandamaya kosha may be no issues, but the other ones, they're issues. But all those come and go, but I'm constantly there regardless if they're there or not. So there's something other than those. So the viveka, first understanding the difference between the two. If I understand the difference between the two, then I have to. That's the whole study now. Then that helps to solve the problem. Now you see what the problem is. And now, with the analysis, the next stage would come is tadatmanaha, is identifying then with the atma and now with the panchakosha, like this one. So first understanding the difference between them, between the layers and between myself, and then learning to own up, identify with the self, and that's the biggest task, like this. But again, the clearer it is, the easier to do. The less clear, the harder to do in this way. And that's why also with the Vedantic Sadhana, there's the three-pronged approach, where first we have to understand it, and the roadmap is given in this way, Shravanam, through hearing about this. Coming, hearing regularly, extended time to make it very clear in this way. If I sit and read, it's not the same thing. I'm there my own mind at my own pace. It's not just being pointed out to me in this way. And then the more it's pointed out, the clearer. Then when I read about it, it's easier. But if it's not pointed out like this, it's much more difficult to do. Somehow, this is an interesting thing that it works like this. So then, having to slowly, slowly own up that I am that one, and not this body-mind. So first seeing the difference, and then, you know, the habit of my identifying with these is always there, like this. So this is the tadatmanaha, to learn to identify with, not the instrument, but the one behind them, like this. So this is the third and main sadhana, if you want. And then last, tanishtaha, nishta, the established. So then what happens then? This is the last, when somebody is is established, a jnani, no question about it. So then there's no question, am I body, mind, am I this? No, I know this, very clear. So again, the sadhana, as I started before but went off, the sharavanam, then mananam, reflecting on. Because I hear about this, and if you think about it like this, I have this mind here, which is an amazing instrument. What an amazing instrument this human mind is. And if you think about it, some people, how they've utilized and done amazing things with it. Any human thing that you see with phenomenal standing out, some human mind, they really utilized it well, right? In all fields like this. Now what happens is, so those people were churning the mind and looking more and more into something, and great treasures come out from that. Now here, imagine just like, you know, the sun is shining everywhere, and some people put the solar panels so they utilize the energy of the sun. If we utilize 10% of our thought that we have, instead of just churning the politics and the sports and the emotion of this and that and who knows what else, 10% of that that's churning and churn into looking into this. Well, 10%, not my 50, 100%. What a difference it would make. So if I take what, you know, what we look into, study, and then churn it in my mind, think about it, bring it to the mind. That's the beginning mananam, to think about it. And then to compare, contrast, because eventually mananam is to reflect on it and to see how, okay, I'm that one. I slowly see that. I understand, but I'm this body mind also. How can it be? What is it that is making me identify with this and not with that, right? And questions come up, like our friend Rajesh, not here today, so he brings up questions also, this because, but the questions after, the more I reflect on it, then I have deeper questions about it. I see what happens is the questions come, yes, I see that, I understand very much, but this but is the issue. But this. If you read Adi Guru Shankara's commentaries, he brings up Purvapaksha. Purvapaksha, somebody with a different philosophy, a different idea, always brings up, and that's the but. Yes, I see all this. They're insincere. Nanu, but. But this thing. Meaning some doubt that I can have, some doubt that us that we study may have. So then that one has to be looked into and clarified. Okay, that's why I think I'm this, but why I'm not? And then, so mananam, to reflect, because what happens is the more clear I study and the clearer the picture is, then there are doubts about it. So to clarify the doubts. Then in vidhyasanam, to meditate on, to make, establish in this, meaning I'm already that, but to see things from this angle instead of from the angle of the individual, the habits that I'm used to taking, the takeover like this. And as I said, you know, we'll study a little, we'll do some of these meditations, nididhyasanam too soon. So this is that sadhana part for the transformation, if you want, in this way. So this is that one. Then, you know, when somebody established them, in second chapter, it did say in that section about the person establishing wisdom, is that if there's a flood, there's water everywhere, right? And you say, can you get me, somebody says, can you get me a glass of water? You know, I want to water my plant. Sound like, what would you need? So somebody who knows it, all the scriptures, why do they need it? You know, there's no need. But for us, you know, for us then, yes, we have some roadmap like this. So this is the points here. So first of all, understanding that, you know, I have to look into myself. That's where the issue is. Then having, you know, system to do it, having the, you know, to understand it, first of all, sharavanam, to look into it, then the transformation, mananandidityasan, learning to, you know, to, when some understanding is there, to clarify that more and more, and then being established in it, in this way. So this is, and then whatever kalmasha, whatever impurity is there, is not going to be there anymore, because in here we don't do it, but if you go to our, you know, other side of the world, to India, then there, in the morning, they'll sweep the house if there's a compound, and everything they put right outside on the street. There's no garbage collection most places, so they just put it outside. So, you know, now place is clean. It's not touched. The garbage is elsewhere, right? So the body's now, well, it's not me. The mind has a little disturbance, it's not me, so it won't be too disturbed because it can't get to me, right? So it won't be a big disturbance. So in this way, my, you know, something is not understood very well, okay, it's not me, it's the intellect has, it's not as good at this, what to do, it's not me. It's not, oh, these people know this well, I can't do. No, it's this intellect, it's not me. So then one is free from all this stuff. So, and the and again, the one doesn't return is saying here, not caught up, because that's the, who is it that is part of this cycle, birth and death? The body is just the vehicle now. The mind, the subtle body, all of this is what continues. But Atma isn't that which comes and goes. So when I identify with Atma, they're not going to be part of that cycle, because that cycle, they're not part of it. It's not part of it. Atma doesn't leave the body. They show in some of the movies that light leaves, goes somewhere in this. So then, okay, that's the subtle body going. Subtle body left this body, and then eventually, you know, needs somewhere in order to, you know, you go to your T-Mobile or wherever you have your phone carrier, say my phone is old, it's nearing its end of its life, right? And so it says, very good, let's transfer all of your stuff to the new phone, right? So one dies, and then transfer to new. You had the version 2, right? Now you get the 4 plus, the new version, like this. So this is what happens. So it gets transferred like that, no problem. But that's not the Atma part. Atma part doesn't get transferred, because if it would, then it would be part of the whole movement, part of the cycle. It can't, like this. Now the difficult thing is, it really seems that I'm the one that is moving. It's not obvious. That's why it's something very subtle, really not obvious. But the thing is, within all my changing part, there's something not changing, because otherwise, if whole thing in me was changing, it would be too hard to see things clearly. It'd be, you know, you get very so dizzy in this, how would you be able to? There has to be something solid there for everything else to lean on, to work around, some nucleus, if you want, like this. And I know I'm always the same one there, I know. So that's the issue. But so the changing is one thing, but the unchanging can't be touched by it. If it was, then there wouldn't be an unchanging like this. And I wouldn't constantly feel I'm the same one. So it's very interesting. So it's not obvious. That's why it takes a lot to look into it. And it takes a lot of shraddha, a lot of conviction, faith, to really take a little time to look into it, because it's not obvious in this way. Because so much conditioning, whether it's the worldly conditioning, from scientific or simple worldly thing that I'm this person and I'm doing all these things, or the religious thing, okay, I have to do these and these rituals, otherwise then I will get to a better place, and there are all these do's and don'ts. That's also a form of samsara as well. It's not that it isn't. You know, certain parts of that maybe can be more uplifting, but it's a stepping stone. It's also an identification as something like this. So that's why one has to take time like this. If one comes, hears a little bit, and then, okay, that was very good, let me go do something else, that's fine. But really have to give quality time to it. Be patient with it for some time, like that. Okay, so let's continue here. Vidya vinaya sampanne. Vidya vinaya sampanne. Brahmarne gavihastini, Brahmarne gavihastini, Shunichai vashvapake chaha, Shunichai vashvapake chaha, Pandita samadarshinaha, Pandita samadarshinaha. The wise people see the same Brahman in a Brahmin who has knowledge and humility, in a cow, in an elephant, in a dog, and in a dog-eater, a low caste, outcast, lowest caste, you can say like this. So here, saying that the jnani sees the same thing everywhere, because we see through the eyes, and then we see, you know, we see all the differences. And there are different, in this way, there are differences, right? There is a difference between, he's saying brahmanam here, meaning jnani. Actually, brahmana means jnani. Secondary means the caste. That's the secondary meaning. But it means one who knows the self in this way. And so this one, very pure sattvic, they're saying here. And you have somebody very tamasic like this, because they're taking the example from that time, whatever, that first of all, for studying this, the mind has been more pure to look into. So what I eat makes a big difference in the mind. So, you know, first, so more sattvic and vegetarian food in this. Now somebody is not, eats the non-veg in this, but this is even the lower one, like this. Maybe just out of thought, maybe some Chinese merchants came to India because they ate in China anything and everything that moves. And so those are the ones that ate dogs there. I don't know. In Shankara's time, we can only assume these things. But it's just the one that they consider as the lowest caste in this. And because less, meaning somebody less refined, less cultured in this, and more tamasic state in the mind, that's all. Now what happens, that's the upadhi, not the atma behind it, in this way. I have one light here that's nice and bright, one light here that's flickering and dim. The same electricity is behind it. It's not a different electricity behind what's behind it. So externally there are big differences, but what's behind it is the same thing. This is the difference. Because we look at the external like this. Externally, yeah, there are differences. One time in the ashram in Uttarkashi, because I stay, my kutir is just a few minutes walk from the ashram, so I walk in the morning to the ashram and morning chanting, five or whatever, whenever they have the morning prayers there. So one time when I came, some monkeys had come. And the monkeys, when they come, they cause a lot of havoc, right? There's some people, they just can't grow anything in the garden. Some things they just don't grow because the monkeys come, they make a mess out of it. So what happens is, there was one person there, is devotee of Hanumanji. So he came in the morning, he told Swami Premananji, oh, you saw the monkeys came now like this. So he scolded him badly. He said, look, it's your Hanumanji that came in the form of the monkey. You have to worship with the stick and chase him away so it doesn't cause trouble with the fruit tree. You don't have to go just salute him in this and that way. In this form, you have to do that. So he's not telling him, don't see the god in the monkey like this, but you treat it properly in that place. You see it on the bank or they're far away, no problem, but it's causing trouble, you have to do this. So the thing is, so in our vyavahara, the worldly thing, yes, you have children, yes, you have to discipline, yes, you have to encourage, all these things, yes. You know, but understanding that's the dharma, my duty here in this place. That's one thing. And vyavahara duty, I have to do that. That's in this place. But understanding behind it is just the one same thing. Just like in the drama. The drama, they know they're just all the actors, but they put on a drama knowingly. So we know it's a... So for us again, this is our sadhana, to try to see equally. Try in this way, but the jnani, it's their vision, this is how they see it, from understanding. Because, again, we see externally, but one who sees clearly like this doesn't see a difference between themselves, between all the different parts like this. This is what's being pointed out here. So what happens is the jnana, then it brings about a change in one's perspective, sees differently in this way. And here it says, samadarshi, sees equally in this way. What happens is, an example is brought that when there's going to be a wedding. Again, all these examples are, because I go to the classes, most of them are Indian culture-based, at least so many, because that's where the examples that are given. We can find others, but since those are the examples I've heard so much, they come so much of the time like this. So what happens is, the bride and her mom and auntie and this, they'll go to the jewelry store. And the jewelry store, what they're looking at is the shape, right? The girl wants something more modern shape. The the other one, the aunt is more, wants more the traditional one like this. No, 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 that's not how it has to have this on it, blah, 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 whatever it is. But the jewelry shop, what does he see in all of them? He just sees gold. For him, gold is, okay, they bought something heavier, more weight, meaning he sold by weight, he'll make more money. So he sees gold in everything. And again, utility-wise, just like to your children, you have one duty, to parents, other duty, to your job, work, other duty, like this, different duties externally. But still, it's the same presence behind all of them. It's similar with this gold example, that yes, it's one gold in all the ornaments, that they have different utility, right? The lady who puts them on will put the bracelet on in this place, the nose ring on in this place, right? Necklace on in this place, ring on this place. It'll go, they have different utility and everything, but it's just one gold. So in this way, it's one presence, but we break it down according to our conditioning. So in this way, this is, so learning the equal vision. And the equal vision, again, for sadhana we try, but this is not just an effort, it's an understanding. Because we see through these eyes, but these eyes are just giving some information and as some color and then some limited view of things, and then through my conditioning I see it. But then that's not the substance, that's the external appearance. It's not what's behind it. Because what's behind it is not, is, if I look closely. Now if you think of it like this, this is, what happens is, okay, I have my own mind, right? I have a mind. Now, I experience my body. So I experience the sensation of my body. Where am I experiencing it? Without my mind, would I be able to experience it? You couldn't experience without your mind, right? So my body is in my own mind, meaning without my mind, deep sleep, no body. You need the mind to experience the body. So people say the mind is in the body. Well, really? I experience the body within my own mind, right? Now I see all of you. So I see something outside. So I'm seeing, where is the seeing happening? Within my own mind. If I didn't have a mind, I couldn't see you, right? So I see. So the whole seeing is within my own mind. So you take each sense like this, without your mind, could it be there? No. So meaning the whole world I experience without my mind, would the world be there? So everything I experience within my own mind. If there is something outside, not, you can't, you know, how can you can't really know, but you can only see within your everything, your whole life of experiences is within your mind, right? You can't have it without your mind. The only difference between, this is an interesting thing, the sleep experience and waking. In the waking, there is some sensation in the senses, right? The whole rest of the mind takes over. Everything else is mind-based. Only that one thing. In the dream, that one thing was protected by your mind, right? That there is some sensation, that part the mind projects, and waking, it's something in the sense. Everything else, the mind takes over. So my whole world is in my mind because it's all interpreted through my mind. So that's one thing, first of all, that the whole world. So then we say like this, there's the bhutakasha. Bhutakasha is this space, right? The physical space. And there's chittakasha. Chittakasha is mental space. So the whole bhutakasha is within chittakasha because my experiential world is within my own mind. So bhuta is the element. So within the element space, the whole elemental space world, that in my life is within my chitta akasha, chitta, the mind. So that's one thing not too hard to see without that. And actually this is, you know, this is going a little bit further to look into, is then somebody will say, well, how do you know, you know, you're saying this, that it's just in your mind. But again, how do you really know it's just in your mind? Well, look, the sleep means that there wasn't something through the senses, that was from your mind. That's the difference, sleep or imagination, compared to waking where it's directly through your senses. That's What makes the difference? Now, what happened 10 seconds ago, where is it now? In your mind, right? Any time ago, past is in your mind. So past is the same as dream because it's just in your mind now. Future is projected, it's in your mind. Only the present moment is the only place where you say it's not in your own mind. Be 100% present, meaning drop your whole conditioning past. If you drop all your conditioning, all the separation's not there. When you're really present, you don't feel the separation. So how the mind is playing the whole trick and helping to build up my idea of the world. Very interesting. So then I see everything's in, my mind. This is kind of deep stuff. We jumped into deeper waters, no problem. So if it doesn't totally sink in, take some time, because this is kind of deeper stuff. But it really is like this, then how can you think about that? My conditioning is overshadowing my present. Drop your conditioning. If you're really present, I see somebody, right? I see a dog or I see a cow or this. I like this one because I had a dog when I grew up. I had a bad case because a dog bit me when I was a kid. I like dogs, I don't like dogs. I'm afraid of elephants, or elephants are the most wonderful creatures. Rhinoceros, you'll see, you'll be so scared. Go to YouTube, some people who raise rhinoceroses, they love them and they hug, and the cute rhinoceros comes to them and wants to sit on their, put their head in their lap, because when they're little in the sanctuary, they took care of them. So it's all conditioning like this, right? So the differences like this are my conditioning. Depending on where I go. Elephant is very holy. When I was a kid, they were in the temple and blah, 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 and this. Somebody else is scared of them. It's a huge animal, right? So all this conditioning. So if I drop all that conditioning, where's all the differences, right? So the so when really seeing clearly, so in my mind, so without my mind getting in the way, it's all totally fine like this. Now, one step more, there is one more space. You know, we're space traveling from Bhuta Akasha to Chitta Akasha. Then there's Chid Akasha. Chitta is the mind. Chit is the consciousness. So Chid Akasha, it becomes a D because of the just the Sanskrit grammar. So Chid Akasha, the space of awareness, meaning which is Atma. The mind. Can anything happen, any thought happens in your mind without your being an awareful being? Could it happen? It can't. You're an awareful being. Because you're an awareful being, then you're aware thoughts come and go in your mind. So you're aware it happened. Where's all the thought process? Where is it? Within your space of awareness. It comes and goes within your awareness. So the mind itself, I identify with the thought, but I know the thought is there. The identification, I'm aware, I'm identifying with the two. You know, it's subtle, so I don't notice that, but the whole thought process coming, going within my own mental space of awareness, like this. So all that also is just within the awareness. Because I have to be aware, and then the thought can come and go within the awareness, right? So now what happens is, and awareness, I'm always this, that's where I'm the same one. I'm the same one, and the thoughts come and go, but I'm the same one. It's within the space of awareness. So now, where did my whole body world go? Where did my whole mind go? Within my awareness. So how will one see the differences? Like in the dream, you wake up, it was all just my projection. So the elephant, the dog, the cow, whatever character, whatever people in the dream, it's the same thing, it's just my own. My mind, meaning it's just me behind it, there's no difference, it's the same thing. So, that's in the, if you look at your dream, analyze your dream, and you see it's all just you, meaning there's no real difference, the difference is superficial, just you behind everything. No real differences. So if one, a jnani in this way, sees the whole world is also the same way, so there's no difference between, it's all the same thing. Because it's all it's the Atma, it's themselves, their selves behind everything. Not their selves as the body and mind, but as the consciousness is just the one thing behind everything. So the jnani sees this, we can analyze and try to look into in this, and then clear understand and drop my differences. Now there's one very nice preparatory way to do this. Very, very nice preparatory way, which is brought up in Panchadashi, which in our Thursday class we studied during the pandemic. This is a really wonderful exercise you do, is you say, okay, I can't see yet, there's just one consciousness in through everything, kind of a little understanding. How do I prepare for it? It's a very nice exercise. It says, okay, there are two creations. One is Ishvara Srishti, the creation by Ishvara, right? Like this, that's one. The other, Jiva Srishti created by me, the individual. So the Ishvara Srishti is this person is here, right? This child is here. Okay, this child is here, very good. That's Ishvara Srishti. Child, okay, very good. Jiva Srishti is that's my child. Or that's the neighbors who I don't like and I don't get along, their child, the mischievous child. That's my Srishti. I put my idea on it, right? It's a beautiful animal. Oh, it's a fierce animal. That's my idea that I put on it. So the Ishvara Srishti, so I try to recognize the Jiva Srishti and not get caught up in Jiva Srishti, make it as benign as possible. Okay, this child, very good. Okay, this animal, very good. Then it's not my idea, right? Then the more I remove, clear my idea, my preconceived ideas from, then the Ishvara Srishti becomes very benign anyway. Then if less and less my idea is on, then it'll be easier also to see through it. If really my ideas aren't there, then it'll be easier to see through it. The differences will, you know, eventually nullify it, easy to see through them. So this is a very good exercise for it. Here it's talking the vision of the jnani, that they've no questions the same behind all these things. The cow sacred, again, brought here, cow is sacred, right? But elephant, okay, not as sacred, maybe in the south more, north not as much, so okay, so a little bit. And the dog is seen as keeper, you know, now people are keeping the dog in the house, but till not long ago, then dog was, especially in the Eastern world, no dog is, you know, keep it away, it's dirty, it's, you know, unclean, keep it away from us, like this. And the Brahmana like this, somebody very learned and Vinaya, humble, because to really have knowledge one needs to be humble. Because if I'm not humble, then my ideas are there, how will something else get put in? So I have to be humble and then something maybe flows in. Maybe because I'm humble, I'm more open, I can put my ideas aside, I accept somebody else, this person must know something that I don't, so I can listen to and then it'll come. So the knowledge and humility go together, we say, like this, then it'll flow in. So this one, and then still they're saying this one, and then somebody that will revere, somebody we don't think of as, don't think very highly. And then in the end, it's the same behind them, like this. So it's saying like this, those are all the conditionings, like this. Now, so, and what happens is all these conditionings, what do they belong to? They belong to the body and mind, to the koshas, right? There's a dog, anamaya kosha, and dog, subtle body. And then the same with the elephant and this. And then of course at this time maybe they didn't know as much the dolphins and whales. Now maybe if they write this text, maybe they'll put dolphin or whale first in there because they seem even higher and more, you know, evolved intelligent than elephant, cow, could be, we don't know. So in this way, but it's all, that's the kosha. So the conditioning is there. They're the gunas, the qualities. In Atma, there aren't the qualities. Now, some philosophies, like Jain philosophy, says the Atma is the size of the body. So an elephant will have a big Atma, whale a huge Atma, Tyrannosaurus Rex, huge Atma, the ant a tiny Atma. It's kind of, now the ant evolved and became a cockroach, and it evolved and became a squirrel, evolved, became a dog, and an elephant, so the Atma grew. It's kind of, you know. Now what'll happen? I'm getting fatter with my Atma, I gain weight, my Atma get bigger. Now I grow, you know, now I grow older and I slowly get, you know, smaller in this, and my Atma gets, it doesn't, you know, it's, that's the kosha, it's not the Atma. Because otherwise, so in this way. So this is the Atma, we can't measure like this. So again, the difference here, upadhi and Atma. seeing the difference. That's one of the main things I took in a whole other route there. Just came up from, you know, you study these things, and as you're looking, you know, this point is very, very nice here. But in any case, the most important then is here that the qualities belong to Atma, to the Kosha, not to the Atma. Now what happens is, an example that's given for this then is, there's the wave. Imagine the wave is conscious. So the wave, we're in the Bay Area, so in the Bay, if you're not in the Bay Area, sorry, you can imagine some ocean or something. So there's a wave in the Bay. And then what happens is, if this wave is conscious, it can think, I was born so long ago, I'm very old wave, I'm 5 minutes old. You know, I'm senior one, and I'm quite kind of large here, you know, not too many big ones like me, but there are some big ones I've heard, if they clash against you, what'll happen to me, right? And I'm very sad because my grandparents are already gone. My parents, I see, will go away soon. But what'll happen is, when I crash, what'll happen? I've heard that I can come back again and as another wave if I'm good. If I'm not good, then I'll just come as a whirlpool or some foam with a lot of dust in it. And what'll happen when I crash and disappear like this? This is what the wave will think. Now that's the upadhi. When the wave thinks of itself as water, where did it begin? Where did it end? Right? Where did it start? What can disturb it from the other waves? No problem. So it's the understanding of not the upadhi, the temporary form, but its essence. So when it knows that, then also all the other waves around, they're the same water. There's no difference between them in this way. So that's an example that's given a lot, wave and water, because of this, that the Atma is also the substance. It's not that there's Atma and then there is the world. At first we're separating those, because the difference is, the world is Namarupa, name and form. Name is my projection, so my conditioning, how I'm categorizing everything. And form is again, how it appears in this way. Because of how it appears, then that's why my conditioning, I see it like this or like that. So now that's not a substance, right? Table isn't a substance. The wood is the substance, right? So name and form isn't the substance. So Atma is the substance. The name and form is just the external appearance. It's not a substance. So when I'm seeing through the senses, through the mind, through the conditioning, I'm looking at the appearance and my idea of it, but not the substance. That's why the Atma is the substance behind. The consciousness is the substance, because we saw it'll be in mind, and then behind mind it's the consciousness behind. Because what is thought? It's the consciousness with some sort of movement, some sort of idea like this. And the consciousness stays the same, otherwise it would be a full change, but something stays the same. So in the end, everything is like the wave in the consciousness, and the consciousness is always the same. So that's why there is no, we don't say there's a substance, world and Atma. At beginning, Atma and Atma Viveka, we say there's koshas and Atma, there's the objects and the pure existence. But then when we look deeper, we say, okay, there's the, you know, there isn't, it's not two things. It's the name form and then the substance in this way. So the water and the wave. So the wave is the name and form, substance, water. When you look at it from substance perspective, no problem. When we look from the name form perspective, all the problems, all the drama, like this. So that's why what samsara is, samsara problem is substance abuse. We abuse the substance, we put stuff on it like this, we project things on it in this way. So this is what it's saying here in this. So vidyavinaya sampane brahmane gavihastini shunicheva shupakicha panditaha samadarshinaha. So this is the equal vision like this. And again, the equal vision by clear seeing, there's no question about seeing clearly. It's not by There's the upasana, meaning I'm trying to see that. That's an effort. But understanding is different. Once someone understands, then it's just pure understanding. Let's stop here for today. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. So is all this? Any questions or confusions? We'll try to clarify them. Yes?
I do have a question. So, since we see things through our conditioning, and you said to become present and drop it, how do you get rid of the conditioning?
Very nice.
Yeah.
So what happens is you cannot live as in the world without any conditioning. It's not possible. Because just to interact with the world is conditioning. Just to see the world is conditioning. So the difference is, first of all, is making the conditioning more benign. That's one thing. Because my stronger ideas, they cause, those cause rajas, tamas in the mind. Those, because, the strong condition, stronger, then more activity, more this. Less, then it's more benign, I just do what's needed. So making it mind more sattvic, then it's, you're not as caught up, and then easier not to be as caught up in it. So the thing is to make it that it's through understanding and through making the mind more balanced, then I'm not as caught up in the conditioning, and then I know not to identify with it, right? Okay, I have to do something, I'll do it best as I can, and then that's it. It's not perfect, I do as best as I can, I'm content, I see that was, if I can fix something, wasn't okay, but it's not going to touch me because I know it's only playing through the conditioning like this. So that's why the sattvic mind, much easier. But a rajasic mind means I'm identifying with, otherwise there won't be disturbance. Rajas, there has to be disturbance in the mind. So the greater and more sattvic, and then slowly learning like this that I'm the one who's working through the conditioning. Because my guru would say just to talk these things, that he has to have ego. How can you do it? That means conditioning. The jnani, we say it's a functional ego, meaning, okay, it's used, how it can be used, but it's not an identity ego. So then the conditioning is just, it's not something substantial, but something to interact, it's you can't interact with the world without it in this way. So, both the purification process, the preparation, and then the study like this helps to slowly loosen it up. And actually, one thing about it is just by doing some sadhana, some study like this, after just some study, at least it loosens somewhat. That makes a big difference. Already you feel a little freer. It's not binding you as much. So it shows you, hey, this is doing something, look. So then that's actually how it builds up the shraddha, the conviction in it, that by studying and slowly see, wow, it's this thing used to really catch me, I used to identify it not so much anymore. Then shows, oh, it's doing something. So that it kind of helps to prove it to you that it's looking into further can help in this way. But again, there's no way to interact with the world without conditioning, of course. A jnani has the jnani's vision, so we can't sit and assume to be like that. So how the jnani it's happening, we don't know. We can't say because natural for them. But at least this is how we can aspire like that. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. But again, the identity with the conditioning, that's where all the issues come up then.
Okay, like this.
Yeah. Because then people want the happiness through the conditioning. Like yesterday we were at a wedding and this, everybody happy and this. And Bay Area, then Indian wedding and this, and the more wealthy in this, oh, it'd be big and noise and this. And so everybody's very happy with that. Very good. Easy to be happy through that conditioning. Now let's see, the honeymoon is over, meaning I hope the couple will be very happy. We know her since she's a little girl, my wife's student, this. We wish all the best with them. But of course, life has its struggle. You identify as the husband, as the wife. Yeah, there will be, the issues will be that there's no way it won't be, right? So there, the ups and downs will be because of the, due to the conditioning. So to be happy because of the situation is easy. But then the life's up and down, slowly they're there to help to teach us, hey, you're not going to find it through the conditioning. You'll have some ups and some downs in this. Okay, and then what? So then learn to, if you learned, just do your best and you're not, you know, you're not that conditioning, then you don't have the issue. Like that.
So. Then, what's the point of getting married or being in a relationship when in the end it's all attachment, and to find peace you have to let go? What's the point? I mean, it might sound like a stupid question, but...
No.
What's the point?
It's an individual thing. Well, the thing, you're in the world, right?
Yeah.
So once we're in the world, we have to do something. You can't not do anything. For majority of people, it's helpful having family, relations, some, you know, for emotional support and for feeling you're part of something. And for most people, it works. And it's a structure within the society also. Society has structures how things are done. So it works like this. So, but somebody doesn't have to. If somebody doesn't want to get into that, there's no need to. That's true. And that's why earlier in this chapter it actually came up. There are two paths to have. One is being involved like that in the world, and then family and work and part of society. And one is not doing sannyasa, renouncing, just looking into this and not. That's a lifestyle choice. Both of them still, because you're interacting, there's conditioning. Somebody's just sitting, somebody's a monk just sitting in a small hut, and people come to them once in a while and ask, and they beg for food. That's also conditioning. It's a thinner conditioning, but if one isn't ready for that, then it'll be very difficult. Because somebody does it prematurely, so much stuff is going to come up, it'll be hard for them. And when I'm in the society, and there's family, and there's relation, then it's easier to work those out. But then, we, you know, for a spiritual person, spiritual aspirant, we utilize that to slowly, slowly grow, instead of, because, you know, not just for, I'm trying to squeeze things out from the world so I can be happy and enjoy, then, you know, I'll just be more miserable. And then I get more miserable, so hopefully it kicks in the right direction. I have some vairagya, and then I start changing direction like this.
Okay.
So the thing is, it's good, but that's for most people, that it's not as easy to do that, unprepared. Prepared, then no problem. If somebody does have interest, yeah, they shouldn't. They shouldn't be married, shouldn't this, and should do that. That's great. No problem. Like this. So... because in the end, from higher perspective, none of it will have purpose. But since we're not there, then we have to utilize the tools that we have, you know, for our growth. How can we grow the best? How can within the world we grow? So then that all these things are there, can be useful for it, and like that. Because from Apa perspective, all this doesn't have substance. But as individual, yes, then I have to. I'm not at that point, so I need to live in some way like that.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Yes. Nice questions. Anything else from remote or non-remote? Very good. So next weekend is holiday weekend, so we won't have class because usually people are busy and everything. Oh, that's true. So there's no Gita class next week anyway. So, you know, because Stephanie's going to India, so you won't have to worry about trying to get to class if you're in a rush to go. Good. So that lets me.